Thanks. Okay. All righty. Shall we finish this up? Is there still a black dog back there? Okay. All right. Well, hey, I think that was a great intro to where we're going to go today. We're talking about love. And if we look at where we've been, let's see. We're going to come up here in just a second. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to pray that all of our details come together here. So we can have a good finish. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you're with us. Thanks, God, for all those thoughts about your grace and your holiness and all those realities about you that should fill our mind all the time. Or we should just live in the presence of those thoughts all the time. And I ask you, God, that you'd be with us here, that you'd speak to us. Lord, I pray that your words would come into our innermost being. Said, my sheep hear my voice. Lord, we are here as your sheep. And whatever else may be true, whatever is going on in my life, whatever else is going on in our lives, you are able to speak. And that's what we trust, God. You're a real person. And we just ask you to let us hear you, God. Speak into our hearts and let us be taught by you, be discipled by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow, look, prayer works. Okay, so we're in a series on love. We talked about week one, love in God. And what is love in God about? Anybody remember that? Like, gee, how long ago was that? I could just teach the same sermon over and over and it would all be fine. And it was a great sermon, too, so we could just keep doing it. Love in God. What in the world does that phrase mean, love in God? Yes, exactly right, Karen. God is love. And we looked at the fact that that is the absolute foundation of reality. God is love. The Trinity exists, has always existed, always will exist. What will always be is love. I think that is an astonishing, amazing thought, that the ultimate, final reality is love. And it just gives a foundation and a grounding for everything. On Wednesday night, I was at a debate, and we talked about a little bit at one point. You know, can there be morals or ethics or compassion or value or love without God? And in one sense, yeah, we can experience that. We can feel that. But there's no foundation for it. It doesn't come from anywhere. But if everything in the end is about love, then whenever I walk in that, I am connecting with what is ultimate. And I think that's huge. That's what we get in God. God is love. And the next week we talked about how our thing was love from God. And what was that about? Love from God. Love in God. There's love in God. Love from God. Like, that was a really good one too. That was about God loving us. So what's God going to do when he creates something? He is going to love what he's created. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. And that because of who God is, because it is his very nature, is because it's what just rolls out of him, because that's the nature of his being. He loves everything that he's made and he loves us. And we looked at reasons why we can be confident about that. That we live in this sphere of love. That's what it is. There ain't nothing else out there in the end. What is love. Because what is God. And he made you in his image. And he loves the whole creation. He loves it all. And he loves you. That is the nature of what is. And again, we need to think a whole lot more about that. That is the beginning point of everything, that God is love and that He loves, therefore, what He has made. And that should be just like 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 2 is 4. Now you're ready to learn math. God is love, and He loves everything He's made, including you. Not because He even made a choice to do it, although I guess God chooses, but it's just what He is. It's what has always been. And it's what rolls out in as deep and intense and as real a way as could possibly exist. Because if there's any greater way God can love you than what He does, then He is not yet fully what He could be. God, if you could love me any more than you do, then you're not really fully God yet. As complete as it could ever be, God loves me. And you. That is as clear, as simple, and as straightforward as 1 and 1 is 2. If any of it's true, that is true. So where do we go from there? Week 3, love for God. So God is love, and He loves everything He made, and He made us in His image. Okay, now wrap that together. Let's put this together. Let's be detectives here. Let's be scientists. Let's figure this out. God is love, and He loves everything He made, and He made us unique, different. He made us in His image. What do you think He made us for? Relationship, because that's what's in Him. And who did He make us to have relationship with? First of all, wouldn't it be right? You don't even have to read the Bible. If you've got those first two, you can go, okay, now what's next? He made us in His image. What's the first thing we're made for? We are made to love Him. We are made to love Him. That's what He made us for, to share in that, to have relationship. And there's where we're going to go in the future weeks. So, to be loved draws out a desire to love. Every time you have felt loved, every time you have wanted to love, that's what happens. We feel loved and it just overwhelms us and we want to love in return. That's how we're wired. That's how we're made. That's the one way we're not like God. God does not reflect love, but we do. And every time you felt love, something has welled up in you and you go, man, I want to be kind to somebody. I want to help somebody. I want to hug you back. I just feel like I want to love somebody because we feel loved. Now, God wants us to take that love. We love because He first loves us. That's why it's so important to keep our mind renewed in these things. If you're not loving very much, you know what the problem is? You haven't felt loved in a while. You haven't felt loved in a while. You haven't had your hug lately. If you had, at least in that moment when you received that love, you just go, ha, I just want to love somebody. That's the way God's made us. And the first person He made us to love is Himself. The first person we are to love is God. And that's what He said in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And actually, He's quoting Deuteronomy, I think it's 6:5. And it's a command. That's the first and greatest commandment. So God looks down at us. He says, this is the first thing. Okay, what does it mean to be human? What am I supposed to do? God, I just entered your world. What's the first thing I'm supposed to do? And God says, here's the first thing. You love me.
That's the very first command you're given. That's the very most important thing. I don't know how often you think about that. You know, okay, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do that. I need to do more of this. I need to have my quiet times. And you guys just look at me. Give me your eyes. Give me your eyes. You guys, your parents say that, right? Look, give me your eyes. Love me. Love me. That's the first thing. Love me. Now, why does God say that? Is it because he's insecure and needy? He's a little dysfunctional up there? Well, if he was, he certainly wouldn't be asking you to love him. He's got plenty of love. There's no shortage. So it's not that he's needy. He tells us to love him because it is our connection with sanity. When we love God, all the things in our life are going to be in the right order. So he said, I love you, and I want you to receive it. That's what we talked about at the very end of our message the last time we did this series. It says that, okay, God loves us, but we must receive it. You've got to let it in. You've got to open the door. You've got to let that stuff flow into your heart and your life. You have to go, wow, I believe it. I own it. God, I receive it. And then you go, and I want to love. And God says, here, okay, here's where we start right here. You love me. Love me. And it's so important. He says, I'm going to command it. So why? Why should we love God? Well, of course, you could do a whole semester on this very topic of loving God, but I'm just going to talk about a couple things. One, when we love God, there can be relationship with God, like where Jen wanted to take us. So I think I've shared, where do I go in here next? Oh, yeah. And I've shared this here before, but I think it's really good to remember. You can love anybody, and God does love everybody. He loves everybody, but he doesn't have relationship with everybody. Relationship is two people loving each other. And God wants relationship. So God says, listen, I didn't make you just to love you. I made you to walk with you. I made you to interact with you. I made you so that we could experience something together. So you love me back. And whenever two people are turned in love toward one another, all of a sudden now there's relationship. You can love anybody, but you can only have relationship with someone who is seeking to love you back. And all of a sudden, like, okay, now we're dancing. Now we have relationship. Now as human beings, we don't do it very well, and that's one of the reasons God tells us to love him, is because he's got to be the easiest guy to love in one sense, and that he never falls short on his end. So he says, you love me. Get to know me, understand me, love me. I will never let you down. In the end, on my refrigerator, I have something I pinned up that I've had for many, many years. It says, everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. It's not okay. It's not the end. He'll resolve it all. He'll resolve it all. He wins it all in the end. You will never, ever, 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 ever be disappointed trusting that man. He will never let anybody down. He is the ultimate expression of faithfulness. And so, we love him because it turns us toward that. And in John, it says this. It says, this is John 17. This is the last thing we have recorded of Jesus' prayer related to us. It says, my prayer is that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me.
I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. And so as you unwind this, which is sort of like wild statements, what you see is what Jesus is saying is, God, we have this amazing thing going on, the Trinity, forever and ever. And I want them in it. I want them in it. I want us all just sharing this whole thing together. The thing that we experience, Father, I want them in it with us. I want us all in it. We were made for relationship. God wants that. We're made to be in. We're made to be in. We're made to be part. To do that, since the only thing going on in that party is love, that's what we have to bring. You're coming to this potluck, you got to bring love. You show up and you love God and then you love others and you're part of the party. And then, why should we love God? Because when we love God, we can change. What does everybody want to do? What do we all want to do? I want to change. I want to change. I want to be the person I sense I'm supposed to be. And the whole world is filled up with people that want to change, going to a million different organizations, trying to help them change and buying books and doing this and doing that. There's only one way that I know of that you're going to change. You're going to change if you love and fear God. We become like whatever we love. That's just the nature of it. We're drawn to it. We move toward it. And when we love and fear God, we can overcome the world, the devil, and the flesh. Here's how this works. You are stuck in your patterns. God and the devil both watch you and they go, I know exactly what he's going to do. I know exactly what he's going to do. You know, he's going to do this. This is what he's going to do. We go around and around and around in our cycles. And we can't get out. The world, the flesh, and the devil have us all boxed in and we're just a product of our past. And I want to change things in my marriage. But the problem is, my wife doesn't deserve to have me change them. I'm supposed to forgive her and be kind and compassionate, and she absolutely in no way deserves it. In my mind, in my understanding, in my measure of the moment, I'm already at 52%. Am I just going to give and give and give in this relationship? She doesn't deserve to have me turn again. And God looks at me and he says, well, John, I understand that's exactly what you see out of your eyes. But John, what do I deserve? What do I deserve? Do I deserve to have you respond right? You're my son. Do I deserve to have you run off and make a selfish, foolish choice and say stupid things and hurt somebody? Is that what I deserve, John, after what I've done for you? Is that where your love brings you with me? And when we love God, we look at God and we go, you deserve a different choice. You deserve me to choose right. God will always deserve the right choice. If you love God, if you love God and you bring God into the picture, there'll be times you look at your world and you go, but I'm justified in doing this. I deserve this. I have the right to this. It's okay. I've suffered enough. And the circumstances all around you in your world, all the patterns will go. The reason you do what you do is because you feel justified in it. Well, the circumstances justify this. But when you love God and you back up and you bring Him into the circumstances and you go, but wait a minute. What do you deserve? What do you deserve? All of a sudden, you have something that will make you make a choice you would never make except for that. You just keep going down the same road. You keep going down the same road. Then you bring God into the picture. You go, oh, you deserve something different. And because I love you, I will go where I have never gone. Because I love you, I will do what I have never done. And it's so scary, and they don't deserve it, but I will do it because you do deserve it. And you live a different life, not because you're a Christian, but because you love God. Because you love God. If you don't have much love for God, you won't do much obeying. You know, it says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it is so important that we fear God. And people generally don't understand what it means to fear God. In one sense, I really fear my wife in a very appropriate way. And all that means is, I know that in certain scenarios, if my wife has a thought or an idea, she's right. She has this amazing discernment. And you know, essentially I've kind of learned, unless my wife is fearful, she's right. If she brings something, and if she's fearful, then she'll get where she isn't thinking clearly. But if she's not fearful and she brings something up, I've just learned, you know what? Sit down and listen. Because she is almost always right. Just this last week, there was a situation in Fort Collins, something going on with some people. She called me, and then she texted me and said, I think you should connect her. I think you should do this. And I didn't want it. I've got other stuff going on in my life. And I just went, she's right. She's right. And in a sense, to fear God means I just know He'll never be wrong. He'll never be wrong. He says, go here. I'll be a fool if I don't do it. That's what it means to fear God. If you ever think you're going to come out ahead going somewhere where God says don't go, you are not very bright. Fear God, He will never be wrong. It's not like He's going to hit you if you disobey. You don't fear God because, oh, He'll hit me. God will never hit you. He might discipline you. But you never need to be afraid of Him that way. He is not an abusive father. But you should be afraid of Him this way. He's never wrong. He is never wrong. And when He says something, you just better be quiet and listen, because if you go a different direction, you're going to go, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. You fear the Lord. But the love of the Lord is the beginning of fellowship. And it is not just wisdom that we need. We need more than wisdom. I need more than wisdom. I need relationship with God. I need fellowship. I need walking. I need being with. I need love and affirmation. And that's what you need. And so, why love God? Because that's what God wants. That's what you're made for. You're made to be in. And you experience that in relationship. And you can't change, I don't think, unless you love God. It's your secret. It's the secret weapon to changing our human brokenness. Love God. So God commands it. It's the first thing you need to do. First thing, you love me. Love me. Love me. It's the doorway. It gets you where you want to go. Love me. So what does it look like to love God? Well, just a couple thoughts here. God says we're loving with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Heart is easy. That's our affections. We choose our affections. You need to be honest about that. You are choosing your affections. There are certain things that are naturally appealing. I really like potato chips. I don't know if I chose my affection for potato chips, but I can certainly develop it. We choose our affections. We develop our affections. And I just want to talk about one area here of developing affections, and it's this. Oh, so many important points, even just a simple sermon. The great tragedy so many committed Christians is they define their commitment to God as a commitment to serve Him. And they just find it that way alone. My job is to serve God, to sacrifice, to suffer, to lay down my life, to do all those things Jesus commanded. They're all in the Bible, and I got it. And then you know what happens? You are a human being, and you get exhausted. And you come to the end of your human limitations, and you have got to be renewed. You've got to be restored. You've got to have some life flow back in. And so you go, God, I have to disconnect from You because I'm all worn out, and I've got to go get some food for my soul. And I've got to go connect with a movie or an event or some sort of impurity or something, because it is from the world that my food comes. And God, I've got to serve You, so I've got to go get energy. I've got to take a break. I need a break. And then you go and you let the world feed you so you can come back and have energy to serve God. And the devil says, Yeah, you work really hard for God. You get real exhausted. Then you come and let me feed you. I know all the stuff you need. And it's a little bit like a wife serving her husband, going, man, I'm working for him. I'm doing whatever. I'm doing the laundry. I'm taking care of the kids. I'm doing all this stuff. And I am exhausted. I need to go hang out with George next door so I can kind of get renewed so I can serve my husband. And is your husband happy and honored in that? Or is it like something's really broken? And understand this. If God can't feed you, He'd rather not have you serve Him. If all I am to my wife is a job and a task, you know what? This is not working. I want to be a source of good. If I can't be a source of good, I don't even want you to serve me. I'm here to be the first source of good. Do you know how to be fed from God? That does not mean there's something wrong with enjoying the things of this world. It says in Timothy that He's given us all things for our enjoyment. But there's a place our heart crosses the line. And I love this verse. It says, come to Me, all you are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. That's what I need. I need rest, God. I need rest for my soul. Do you know? This is like developing a relationship. It takes time for two people to learn how to fill one another and energize one another. Are you pursuing saying, God, feed me? I'm tired of just serving You. God, I want to be renewed in You. I want to experience that rest that You give. Psalm 73, the psalmist wrote, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. Do you know what that means? Do you know anything about that? Or are you just a worker? God says, whoa, 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 whoa. I want to teach you how I can touch your life. I want to teach you how I can fill your life. I want to teach you how you can experience love from Me. So you really do have good news to share with people. I love this verse in Psalm 4. Many are asking, who can show us any good? In other words, where's the party, man? Let's go to the party. Let the light of Your face shine upon us, O Lord. You filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. Can that happen for you? I would say, unless you're developing that, be honest, there's no reason to serve God. If He can't touch and bless your soul, why are you serving Him? Do you really think you're supposed to serve Him more than He serves you? Do you really think you're the giver in this relationship? You're not the giver in this relationship. And we need to believe that God Himself can deeply touch and renew us. And honestly, I think there's a lot of, quote, committed Christians that don't know very much
about that. So how can you love him? We love those who give to us. We are reflectors. We develop our affections. We guard our affections. Proverbs, it says, above all that you guard, watch over your heart, for from out of it are the sources of life. And here I just say, we have to be really careful what we choose to give our life to, because our heart follows our actions. I'm just going to run through the other two here, soul and mind. Soul, actually I wasn't sure what soul meant. I looked lots of other places. No one else knows what soul means either. So I can say whatever I want. And so this is what I think it means. It's your heart is your affections. Your soul is kind of how you're living your life. And my natural tendency is to live for me. I'm an expert at it. Man, do I know how to live for me. I can take any circumstance and twist it around to my own benefit. You know, just slide this here, slide this there. Turn the tables, turn the little plate so I get the biggest cookie. You know, it's all, I can do it all. I'm so good, my mind just spins on how to work things out in my own interest. But God says, hey, get an amazing life. Can you live as my bondservant? Can you recognize I got interests here? And in John 14:21, it says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. So how do I know if I'm loving God? Well, am I tracking with the fact, hey, he's got stuff going on here. He's got an agenda here. He's got interests here. And so I'm going to track with his commands. What's on his heart? What does he want? God says, when you do that, you're loving me. This is love for God, to obey his commands, 1 John. Find out what pleases the Lord. I love this phrase. When you stand up, when I'm done talking, in that instant, God has interest in this room. When you drive away, wherever you're going, God has interests in that place. When you go to work tomorrow morning, God has interests in that place. My mind naturally gravitates to my own interests. God says, no, wait, no, you're my bondservant. You know what a bondservant is? Who can explain what a bondservant is? I know some of you guys can. Eddie, what's a bondservant? You know. Where is Eddie at? Is he in? Oh, he's teaching Sunday school? No wonder it's so quiet in here. What's a bondservant? Yes, by choice. And in the Old Testament, there was a process. You could serve somebody for 7 years, then they had to let you go free. But you could say, I want to be your slave. I want to be your servant. And the guy would take you over to the doorpost, and he'd stick an awl in your ear, and he'd poke a big hole in your ear. And then he wouldn't let you out until he said, do you really mean it? No, that's not true. Because there was a role where I said, you know, I want to be your servant. I want to be your servant. And Paul describes himself all the time in his writings. He says, I am a bond servant of Jesus Christ. I'm a bond servant. He says, I'm a guy that's chosen. I've chosen. I'm here to look after that man's interests. I want that heart. I am sick of looking after my own interests. It goes nowhere. It accomplishes nothing. It's empty. I want to be a bond servant of Jesus Christ. His interests always lead to good. If you make that choice, your soul is drawn to a life that draws you into a deeper love for him. You find yourself loving him more. And then mind. Last Wednesday, you guys should have been there. Last Wednesday, I gave an amazing message in 16 minutes. None of you even believe that. Mind. Okay. What? True story. Love God with all your mind. Fill our mind with things to point to God, not away from God. And I'll just say this here, because we're going to watch a video clip at the end of this, and nothing's going to stop that. I'm going to challenge you guys a little bit here. This world is all set up to absorb your mind, to take your mind. Every commercial, every advertisement. And let me tell you something. The world that we are living in is insane. I was standing looking at a whole wall full of magazine covers. I thought, this world is insane.
It is insane. The things that are that we are drawn, that will attract us, we'll go, what do you put on a magazine cover? The thing that someone will actually take and make you buy the magazine. We are being trained to be crazy. I watch television. I go, we are insane. This is insanity. It has nothing to do with our humanity. All around us, every voice is leading you away from the very thing God made you to be. And our minds get drawn in and they get absorbed with it, and we become so cognizant of it and so aware of it and so infatuated with it. And I just want to tell you, when's the last, like I've been, this is Mad Smash Day. So I had to go through 40 verses, try to get them down, you know, so Scott doesn't, you know, think I'm a bad pastor guy. And it is so encouraging. So encouraging. Just roll those verses through my mind. It's like, this is better than a movie. Just to roll these thoughts through my mind. I'm reading a book on the resurrection. I go, this is so rich. So rich. I guess it's like, you know, I'm sort of a sugar junkie. I am. We eat too much sugar. Because I'm living with a bunch of students. Well, that's not why. But I get bad habits, and the habits get worse and worse and worse and worse. And yet, I know that if I just change, and I go, I'm just going to change what I eat. After a while, I go, this is way better. Oh, man, I feel way better. That's exactly how we are with God's stuff. We are junkies with the world. And God says, can you just train yourself to back out? Read a good biography. Memorize a few verses. Immerse your mind here. Immerse your mind. Wean yourself off of all the utter insanity out there. You will like it when you get there. And when you do that, you're loving God. God, I love you. I'm going to choose. I've got a bunch of good Christian movies I really like, and I even hate to even bring them up to people because I think, well, that's a cheesy Christian movie. But there are some things in it that I think Jesus is pleased with. Are we so jaded that there must be evil in a movie for us to find it realistic? Lots of people have to die and things blow up? Or is our heart drawn to other things? No, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not even what I'm saying. All I'm saying is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Love God with all our mind. The greatest invitation you'll ever be given is the invitation to enter into a loving relationship with God. Nobody's ever going to invite you to anything more amazing, but it's hard. Just like, you know, if you get married, you realize, oh, man, this is a wonderful, amazing person I married, but now I have to develop a relationship. It doesn't just happen. I develop it. I pursue it. I grow in it. You have been invited into a relationship with God. The whole world is going the other direction. You are invited to grow in that relationship. Will you have the maturity to choose to pursue and grow? Can I show a 5-minute video? Pam says I can. That's good enough. Okay, so what this is about a dozen years ago, I went away on a trip. I told my son Josh, I need a video about Jesus for my sermon on Sunday. I think it was Palm Sunday. He made this video. It's whatever he produces, maybe he'll produce another Star Wars someday. This will always be one of his favorite productions for me. But don't think about that, because you're not supposed to think about him. You're supposed to think about the person it's about. This is the person you're called to love. And I want you to watch this, and I want you to think about Jesus.
Remember you, precious Jesus, I remember you, healer of my heart, love. lover of my soul.
I just thank you for all that comes into our life when we love you. Just help us to grow in that, Lord. We'll never, ever, ever regret any little tiny thing done for you. And thank you that you'll never forget it. In Jesus' name.